Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I'm joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're going to have some fun this morning. We're going to talk about our schedule a little bit later, get to some local good stories of the day. We'll touch on some of that. We got a That Ain't Right story for you as well. All that coming up. Melissa and I are also going to get into chores, dishes, and more boring things that we find attractive now.
Okay.
All of that coming up. Right now, let's start with some entertainment news. And a Baywatch reboot series is in the works at Fox.
Oh, my.
Of course. This was a matter of time. There's no word on when it'll come out, but it's still pretty early in the and a cast hasn't even been announced yet. They're still casting it, actually. the official plot description is daring ocean rescuers, pristine beaches, and iconic red bathing suits are back, along with a whole new generation of Baywatch lifeguards who navigate complicated, messy personal lives.
Messy personal lives.
In this action-packed reboot that demonstrates there's family you're born into and family you find. my tongue. I truly need a palate cleanser after that. The original series with David Hasselhoff, Pamela Anderson ran from 1989 to 1999. Then it shifted to Baywatch Hawaii from 99 to 2021, which starred Jason Momoa. I didn't know that either. There was a spinoff series with Hasselhoff called Baywatch Nights, which aired from 95 to 97. And there was a movie.
Less pristine beach scenes on that one, or what?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, right? I mean, Baywatch at night, it seems to defeat the purpose. Yeah. And I completely forgot about this. There was a Baywatch movie with The Rock and Zac Efron in 2017. I forgot about that. Wow. I'm sure The Rock is very glad that we forgot about that one. Jeez. As far as reboots go, this has got to be one of the easier ones to call. There's not a ton that you got to do for this, but I am curious if they are going to try to, like, I think that one of the big problems with reboots, along with just rebooting anything, period, is this trying to make it something that it wasn't. Like, if you remake Baywatch and just do basically what you did last time, should work out fine. Like,
probably.
The issue is what it sounds like they're trying to do is turn it more into like CSI Baywatch, that kind of thing, you know. And that's not why people watch the show. That's not what you're missing the point.
if you're going to reboot it, do it similar to what it was before, because that's why it was successful.
Bathing suits. Like, that's why it was successful. I mean, you don't really have to reinvent the wheel here. If this is what you're going, I'm not saying it's good television, but I mean, if that's what you're looking for, if that's what you're going for, I mean, you know, just lean into it. I don't understand the idea of trying to make it serious. They had this happen, and it actually worked out fairly well for them. So it might not be the best example, but it's a fair one, I think. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That show was popular because of the charisma of Will Smith, of course, and some really good writing back in the day, good sitcom writing. But it walked a great balance of it's a comedy. Oh, we're going to hit you with a little seriousness. Here's some comedy, hit you with a little seriousness. You know, that worked. The formula worked for the show. The remake of it, the reboot of it, whatever you want to say, went very serious and very like telling a street story. And it did okay, but it didn't hit the mark as well as the other show did, of course. Mm-hmm. So are you doing a reimagining or are you doing a reboot? There is a gigantic difference to me, and I think that that's important. If you're going to, because they're just going to keep doing this, it might at least be specific about the definition of it, and I would get away from the reimagining. I feel like that seems to be they don't seem to hit on that as much as they do the reboot in general.
Mm-hmm. But you should be get ready for those slow-mo run down the beach scenes.
Yes,
they better keep that.
Yeah. That I mean, in fact, that should like if it's an hour show, like 40 minutes of it should be that. Like, lean into it. What are you worrying about plots for? Who cares about the plot? Nobody's watching Baywatch for the plot. I mean, just lean into it.
Just want to watch them run into the ocean to get slow motion.
Might as well.
As they're running to save people in times sensitive. situations being sucked out to sea.
And as a side note, I actually do think that that would make a good, like, if you did actual TV show about lifeguards or ocean life or anything, I actually think that would be a decent TV show. It's a subject matter that's not really covered much, except for Baywatch, who, spoiler alert, didn't really cover that very well. You talk to any ocean lifeguard, and that show was infuriating to them.
Well, because it's just really about the drama between the lifeguards.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I can't say that I ever actually watched it.
No, me neither. No, never saw 1 second of it. Never that. I would say the only time I ever saw Baywatch were commercials, like whenever they had commercials for it or anything. We don't do this very often, but every once in a while, there's a story that transitions from the Sunrise Show on WIRI. Join us from 7 to 8 over there, and to our morning show here at WFHR, and this is one of them. And, of course, it involves Dolly Parton.
Yeah, of course.
And it involves audience participation, 715-424-2600, 424-2600, listening on the Civic Media app. Thank you. You're just a touch or two away.
That's right.
Who was your first country crush? Who is your first crush of country stars? Or was it a country star? For Dolly Parton, it was. And you want to take a guess who Dolly Parton's first crush was, her first ever crush.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's tough. I wouldn't have gotten this. I wouldn't have gotten this because time-wise, I wouldn't have lined it up right.
Okay.
Johnny Cash.
Ah.
The Man in Black. Yep. Someone dug up an old interview where she said he was the first person she ever had lusty feelings for. She was a teenager, so he would have been in his late 20s. I don't think
Which
of them.
Makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I just never thought about them as being that far apart in age. So I wouldn't have thought of Johnny. I wouldn't have thought of that. Quote, he was lean and lanky, and that's when I first realized what sex appeal was. Now, that's a fun note, and that's interesting. But the best part of this, and I know I do this from time to time, I really encourage you to look this one up, everybody. You need a really good palate cleanser today, or you just want to see this. Johnny was asked about it in an interview in 97, and they played him the clip. And he chuckled and said, well, that was nice of her. And that's it. But like we've got a lot of stills, got a lot of shots of Johnny Cash. You've got some great ones of him smiling and laughing. One of my favorites is him cameoing on The Muppet Show. He loved being on that show and loved the cast and Jim Henson and everything. Actually, Jim Henson, Johnny Cash stayed friends, I believe, over the years. Which, man, I would have loved to have coffee with those two. Tell me that wouldn't be a great conversation sitting there between Jim Henson and Johnny Cash. But you never have seen Johnny Cash red-faced. You've never seen Johnny Cash embarrassed before. I don't think, at least. In my whole life, I've seen this man, and I've never seen him red-faced before. It is hilarious. It is so great. You got to check this out. It is wonderful. It is, to me, the definition of outlaw country, the Man in Black, all these things. And then you see him, and Dolly's name comes up in this, and he's like, he's 13. He's just a 13-year-old. Just, oh, well, that was very nice of her to say that. I think that was really sweet of her. It's great. It's a great moment. We've got a lot of great moments happening here in town on our local stages. Want to encourage everybody to get your tickets and for either one of these shows or both shows. Do yourself a favor and check out both shows. How sweet it is, the Steve Leslie experience. Steve Leslie sings James Taylor, Grammy Award winning songwriter and a singer. Steve Leslie takes his talents right here to town this Thursday, everybody.
Yeah, the 7th. That's right.
Get your tickets for that show. It's going to be a dang good one. Let's give them a good crowd over at the Performing Arts Center right here in Wisconsin Rapids. And as long as you're in the music mood, March 10th, Always Olivia, an Olivia Newton-John tribute.
Yeah. Oh, that's on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. And this is an amazing show. I will be completely honest with the audience. Annie Aiello is one of my favorite interviews I will ever do. I enjoyed talking with her so much, on air, off air. Incredible artist. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful artist. Incredible voice. The way she looks and sounds like Olivia Newton-John is remarkable. All that being said, all that stuff is only second to the kind of person she is. Annie is an incredible human being. Back in Illinois, she does a lot of good for a lot of different cancer research company organizations and everything. And 10% of the this concert goes to cancer research for women, including a percentage of it goes to our own Aspirus Riverview Foundation.
Wow, yeah, percentage of each ticket sale. That's really incredible.
Mm. So not only are you going to be sitting there on Sunday at the Performing Arts Center enjoying this amazing artist, hearing the music of Olivia Newton-John like you haven't heard it before, and being able to remember and honor this great artist that we all enjoyed like Olivia, but also honoring someone you loved. Because make no mistake about it, every one of us at this point in the game, we don't need 6 degrees of separation with cancer. Most of us, you know, it ain't that far apart.
It has touched our lives.
What a wonderful combination of being able to take in a great show while also knowing you're doing some dang good.
Mm-hmm.
You got to love that. Yeah. A shout out to our friends, Sally Kistner and Eric Brittenocker, who do some great work and join us on Midday Magazine to highlight these shows. If you'd like a preview, you can go ahead and catch Midday Magazine interviews right there at civicmedia.us. And get your tickets for these at savorthearts.com, savorthearts.com. And, you know, look, just between Melissa and us and everything, all right? We might have a chance to win some tickets a little bit later in the show.
All right,
keep it down, keep it down. We don't want to tell everybody, but we keep on listening, everybody.
Trying to be, you know, reservedly excited.
Yeah. You did a good job with it. You did a good job with it because you are an amazing actor. I have mentioned this before. I have tried to make you red-faced many times because I love acting. I think it's amazing, but I do think that there are different levels of acting. There are different things that you should do as an actor that I was taught from an early age. Everybody should do Shakespeare. Everybody should do drag, and that's men and women. You know, on both sides. I think it's a throwback to old theater and some of that, and also trains you and gets you versatility on the stage. There's a
lot to use your body. Yep.
Yeah, I think every single actor should work behind the scenes. At least a couple of times in their career.
Yeah, to have that experience.
And doing a one-person show, if you're able to pull it off, I think that every actor should try, every actor should attempt, and man,
it's a feat.
If you can pull it off, it's one of the greatest things you'll do creatively ever. And I can certainly say that about Melissa. I'm not trying to speak for you. You can speak for yourself, obviously. But just for me, as somebody who has seen you a couple of times and gotten to, you know, see your creativity every day on Highlight, it's one of the most remarkable performances I've seen, Mel. It's really, you did some amazing work on that stage, and I love your work. And we get to see more of Melissa's work and the rest of her great cast and fellow castmates with the Glass Menagerie. That they'll be back in action this Friday, or I'm sorry, this Thursday.
Thursday. Yep.
I almost stole the show from you. This Thursday, they're back in action. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, there will be shows at 7 o'clock over at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. On Saturday, there will be a 2 o'clock matinee as well.
That's right. We will be back on stage. We have had our couple days off. I have to say I'm enjoying them.
Yeah.
But Wednesday, we'll have our line run, and then we'll be back at it Thursday.
You mentioned that you're enjoying that. I find that this little break in the action also gives me a chance to reminds me of how much I enjoy doing this. And I want to make sure these last shows, I leave it all on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you're feeling a bit? Is it?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the last weekend of shows, and I read all my lines yesterday, because every line every day, and I'll do it again today, probably while I'm washing walls, but we'll get to that later. there's a lot of bittersweet feelings about, you know, approaching the end of a run, because this has been 7 weeks of rehearsals that we've put in the hard work to develop these characters and learn how to interact with each other as actors. And now that we're into the run of the show, we get to learn to interact with each other as people, because we actually have a little bit more time to, you know, actually get to know each other outside of our characters. We had our cast party on Sunday and hung out a little bit and got to showcase some of our other talents, which was fun. And
very cool to hear.
Yeah, and then we'll head into this weekend of shows as a fully functioning unit.
I do want to make a note, too, that when you're enjoying these shows and you're supporting the arts, which we desperately need to do in this day and age, especially in Wisconsin, where Wisconsin ranks last in the arts, state by state. And I'm going to keep bringing that up. I'm not letting that go.
it's just crazy to me.
You know, when you're taking in these shows, I would appreciate, and I hope that people can also take in, that these are not paid actors. These are people that are taking time out of their personal lives, out of their daily lives, to do shows like this. Melissa's cast features all kinds of stories like that, including her own, traveling from Abbotsford to come here to do these rehearsals all the time. Like, that's passion, man. That's love that you do that for. I admire that so much, Melissa. Keep up the great work. Enjoy the run. And everybody, let's make sure to give them nothing but full houses the rest of this run. Get your tickets at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. Keep in mind, Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater also is looking for directors for next year. If you've ever wanted to throw your hat in the ring on that, we encourage you to do so. And the auditions for Rumors are coming up.
That's right. Those are on the 11th and 12th next week.
Yeah. I'm supposed to get a schedule coming up here, and I am going to be, I have to make the Tuesday audition. I'm not going to be able to make the Monday one, but I will be at the Tuesday audition. So I'll meet you there, everybody.
Yeah. And just another shout out for other, you know, like, we have so much great theater all across Wisconsin. I actually get to preview tonight. I get to go and see a tech rehearsal for the Showcase Players. They're doing a Wisconsin premiere of A Love or Best Offer, written by Phil Olson. It's a play about online dating.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that sounds great. Yeah. Oh, that's
they
good.
They open this Friday, March 8th.
Very cool.
And a run for the next 2 weekends. That's the Showcase Players in Kobe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you get bored. There's nothing but reruns on TV and everything. There's never a rerun on a theater stage. Never.
That's true.
Never a rerun.
Every show is a new show. Because you never know what line you're going to drop and have to make up later.
Yes, exactly. Support the arts and enjoy the arts, everybody. Melissa's absolutely right. We're going to be talking with our friends over in Wausau. They're going to join us on Director's Cut in the next month or two here to highlight some of their shows. We will have CWAC on with us as well. Looking forward to that.
Carrie Drager's directing her first show.
I'm so excited for Carrie. Season. I'm so excited for her. That's awesome. Yeah. That's so cool. Enjoy and support the arts, everyone. And speaking of supporting local arts, encourage you to support What the Muppet, the wonderful podcast brought to us from Bria and James.
That's you, dude.
Yeah. We do a great job with this one. I should say Bria does a really good job with this one. And every Monday or Tuesday I talk about this, I look at our YouTube page and I see our subscribers go up. And I got to think that's a lot of you out there, and we appreciate that, man. That is so cool. just a little behind the curtain here. My daughter, Bria, and I didn't get the chance to have a lot of memories together for her growing up. One of the things that Bria wanted to do was make more memories together, and I'm so thankful to her for that. So she thought, well, we love creating together. We started writing a play together, and we're still doing that. But we wanted to do something more immediate. And Bria has a podcast of her own, High Ho Pistachio, which I encourage you to check out. She does an amazing job on that show. And she thought, well, let's do this. We found a mutual love early on of the Muppets, and we both liked the Muppets, and thought, well, we'll do this. We'll just have this fun little podcast, and we'll see what, you know, comes of it. We didn't think that we'd have, you know, anybody really subscribing, you know, to it early. We just wanted to work together. We just wanted to create memories together. And with that, we've also been able to be welcomed into this amazing universe of Muppet heads out there, and this great community of people in our neck of the woods here in Wood County and throughout the country that just end up loving this show and supporting what we're doing. Thank you. Thank you so much for that, everybody. There are a few things that, there's a lot of things that humble me, but there are a few things that humble my heart more than this. I appreciate you. And if you're, you know, looking for the light, you know, palate cleanser, something fun, easy to listen to, What the Muppet, check it out wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to check out the YouTube page, What the Muppet, and subscribe and like the page. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for doing so. We will go ahead and take a quick time out, check out our partners. When we come back, we're going to have some more fun coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio, 80s bumper day. Rocking the Casbah with the Clash a little bit. Melissa and James here with you. We got some good stuff to get to before we wrap up the show for the day. In a little bit, Melissa and I are going to get into the chores that we find attractive now. We will get into that in just a little bit. We're also going to get into National Snack Day. We'll make some time for that one. I did have a note from one of our listeners. We're curious about that. They like the way that Sabria names our podcasts. She could take all the credit for that. Like every once in a while, she'll ask me, "Hey, what about this or this?" But she always comes up with them. The for episode 31, and I can't believe we've done 31 of these. the day after Woodstock.
Ooh,
that's a great title. It's great. Mm-hmm. Let's dive into this one as we get ready for our news break, Melissa. I kind of like this idea. Some people do, some people don't. It's like, you know, yeah, I work out, and I like the option of taking a nap in between reps. Wait, okay. What? How do you take a nap? Okay. A new poll found 11% of Americans exercise in bed.
Exercise in bed.
Yeah. Now, before you go down the, you know, getting into the dirty here or anything, we're talking like leg crunches and leg rises and things like that.
Okay.
Not where my mind went right away, but yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a form of exercise, right?
Yeah. It was a part of a bigger poll on America's, quote, dirtiest sleeping habits or reasons you might want to wash your sheets more often.
Yes.
Over 50% of us don't always shower at night. Two-thirds let their pets sleep in bed with them, and around half of us snack in bed.
I do not do that.
Yeah. 21% of us also smoke in bed, and a third of us don't wash our hands if we don't have to get up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom. Yikes. It also found 1 in 3 Americans don't always brush their teeth before bed. That doesn't have much to do with how gross your sheets might be, but it's just a bonus reminder that you might want to do that. Now, this comes to us from Mattress Next Day. You can find the complete article and stats there, mattressnextday.com. I have a solution to this that I've been doing my whole life. I just don't sleep, so I don't have to worry about these things. I rarely have to make my bed. It's not the greatest option, but you know, I'm just saying, throwing it out there. No, don't do that, people. Do not.
Sleep. But just wash your sheets.
Yeah. That seems like a much better option. It's sleep and wash your sheets. Feels like a pretty, like, there we go. Boom,
yeah,
you're done. We just figured that out for
They're
you.
They're both everybody. Good for
you. I wonder when it comes to this list too, how honest people are with this. And I don't mean like they're lying, but I mean like more of like, do they even realize you're doing some of this stuff? I especially like the getting up in the middle of the night thing. You're barely awake, and all you want to do is, it doesn't matter if the bathroom's even in your room, it's too far away. Like, so you just want to get there and make it back. It's the like Oregon Trail of just trying to get to the bathroom and back and everything in the middle of the night when you're barely awake.
And trying not to wake up too much. You don't want to open your eyes too wide or turn lights on.
Yes.
So you're navigating in the dark. Hopefully you put everything away or the cat didn't put things in your way.
Yes. Shout out to Kevin. the only thing harder for me than falling asleep, Melissa, is falling back asleep.
Once you wake up.
As you were saying that, I felt every little bit of that. I try so hard to just stay in there, you know, zombie drug kind of thing. But, you know, like anybody over the age of 30, you got to get up in the middle of the night. And it's just hard to fall back asleep. But the forgetting to wash your hands or something like that, like I'd love to be able to lie and say I remember every time. I don't know. I don't remember. I'm not sure I do. I hope I do. You know, it's one of those things I hadn't really thought much about. That's an interesting one, I thought. Yeah. And a nice reminder again. Hey, wash them sheets and maybe clean up a little after yourself.
Sure.
You filthy animals.
Don't snack in bed.
Don't snack in bed. Yes, that's a good one. That is not one that I've ever really done. Like, I don't know. I'm not judging it or anything. To each their own.
Now, a hotel bed, different story.
Oh, that I've done. Oh, that I've done.
Well, it's not like you got a table in your hotel room.
Yeah. But I will also send a shout out to all the hotel workers out there. Mm-hmm. Treat it, you know, yeah, okay, it's going to be messy.
We've both done that work.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we're both right away like, you know. Like,
but take care of the, or at least tip them very well.
Yes, nicely done, yes. We will check out what's going on state and locally, get into our news right here. When we come back, we're talking chores. And sexy chore, what we find attractive. Ooh, coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show, WFHR. Melissa and James here, taking you through the segment. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a good Tuesday out there.
Mm-hmm.
Are you gearing up for a big spring clean? I mean, do you really have to wait for it? I mean, it feels like the weather is kind of like the way it's been going and everything.
We've had spring multiple times here in the last couple of weeks.
Mm. Are you into cleaning? You might want to be if you're into dating. Huh? A new survey of spring cleaning season looked at various chores and run-of-the-mill things we apparently find attractive now.
Mm.
Single people between 18 and 45 were polled, and here are the five unexpected activities you might want to add to your profile pics.
Okay.
A little action. I love the idea of instead of like guys doing the workout shots or anything like that, just them
picture
throwing
of them with their truck.
Yeah, a picture of them throwing laundry in, doing dishes. Like,
man.
The more I'm saying this, actually, you know, why not? I mean, I should
seems
journalist
a little over the top.
Journalistically, I should mention, I'm horrible at dating. I don't know what I'm talking about, so don't listen to me. But listen to this list. This list at Whirlpool, they have got a pretty good list here. So this is, again, from 18 to 45 people that were polled, and the things that we are unexpected activities we might, you know, find attractive. Mm-hmm. Number one on the list, staying on top of chores. 91% of people find that attractive.
Yeah, because you don't really want to date somebody that expects you to clean up after them.
Yeah. I mean, look, no woman in history has ever wanted to be your mom. Okay.
Nope.
Let's just get that out of the way. And on the other side of things, I don't know many guys that, you know, I think that a lot of men like taking care of their partner. But I also believe that there is a line in the sand of wanting, you know, somebody strong willed or those things. I don't think that you could ever give, like, everybody's different. Everybody's looking for different things. But I think that overall, universally, I think that a lot of us are looking for a lot of that.
Right. I want to live with a slob.
Right, yeah. Knowing how to do laundry and doing it regularly, 82% of people agree with that one. Find that attractive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I joke about this all the time. You don't want to be the smelly kid. do your laundry. Yeah, that's important. Doing the dishes, 81% of people felt that one.
I still, you know, these numbers are high, James, but I don't think they're high enough.
I couldn't agree with you more. Couldn't agree with you more.
Like, only 81% of people think doing dishes is important?
Like, there are gray areas to this, of course, and I think that's important to note. But I also think that you hit on something really strong about this. For men, women, no matter who you're attracted to or where you are in the dating, you know, field or anything like that, these things can oftentimes be a signal or a subconscious thought of, okay, well, they take care of themselves. Like, you know, they care about these things.
They take care of their things.
Yeah.
They keep their house clean. They keep their kitchen clean.
That's an attractive quality, you know?
Yep.
Very few people, want to be with somebody who isn't doing, you know, at least trying to do these things or attempting or anything
like
that.
Bare minimum.
Yeah. Being well-rounded in general. 91% of people want to see photos that show you are.
Okay. 91. That's higher.
So that's kind of, that seems very broad, well-rounded. I'm not even sure what they mean by that necessarily, but.
I would say that as far as like pictures go, you don't want to just see a bunch of posed headshots. You want to maybe see pictures of you out enjoying nature or, engaged in something doing.
Whoa. So wait a minute. Having five pictures of just my abs, that's not what people are looking at.
No, James, that is not. And this may explain why you have done so horribly online dating.
It's actually just a profile for my abs. It's just that. It's the profile. Might need to rework that. Might need to work on that one. There's a reason that I would never even in that. Like, even if it was something I was thinking about, I wouldn't even try. Like, to each their own. That's not my world. It's just not my world. As I'm proving more and more as this conversation goes on, cooking is another one. 64% would rather see a profile pic of you in the kitchen than one of you in the gym.
Mm-hmm. Case in point.
Yeah, yeah. I really like these, actually. I think these are actually a really cool list. It's, you know, especially with the age range, 18 to 45. Like, mm-hmm. I find some encouragement in that. When I talk to younger people, there's a couple of things that I find, you know, interesting about the dating world nowadays. That's so different than when I was growing up and you and Melissa, I think when you were and stuff as well. They seem to have a better handle on this in some ways. Dating and the way to treat each other after, you know, the relationship has ended. I find a lot of encouragement in that. And if this is where a lot of young people are going with what they want in a partner, well done, because it usually takes you to your 30s and 40s to realize that.
Well, if we look back, you know, a couple of generations, relationships have changed a little bit. It's not about, okay, you've hit your, you know, you've graduated from high school. Well, it's time to get married and make a family.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case anymore. It's, you know, well, let's figure out life a little bit, figure out what you want to do in life, and then find a partner whose ideals align with yours.
Yeah.
And the partnership aspect of relationships, I think, is far more important. It's not, well, I need to find me a good little wife that can take care of the house and my kids, and because I make enough money to pay for a household. That's not the case anymore. You need two incomes to be able to have a home and raise a family. You can't do it on one.
So I thought I was reading into this a little too much and being Jimmy serious, but you hit on that, Melissa, and I felt the same thing. I read this morning and going over it again with you, it hits me, you know, again. Younger generations are realizing these things earlier than we did, maybe, because they have to. Just speaks to...
Because nobody can be a house spouse anymore.
Yeah.
You can't afford it.
So I go through the waves of this where I'm encouraged and uplifted by this, and then I think about it a little bit. I'm like, oh, geez, like, yeah,
sad.
Yeah, it's kind of a melancholy kind of thing,
But I don't know if I've ever heard that term before, and I just got to say it again, house spouse. I kind of like it.
I kind of like that, too. I was gonna send you a text, like, oh, that was a good one, Mel.
House spouse.
House spouse. That's a good one. That is good. And again, whirlpool.com. You can find the complete article at, see what you think, and go ahead and let us know, 715-424-2600.
Realize that having the ability to share chores in a relationship is vital. Mm-hmm. It's very important.
Yeah, yeah. Goes a long way. On many levels, many ways. And I can't think that there is a partner out there, again, of any, you know, man, woman, alien, doesn't matter, that doesn't find these things interesting. I find these things attractive. So, yeah, I think that's a good note, too. We will go ahead and check out our partners. We'll be back and have some fun. We got good stuff coming up for you. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Come home to me and I'll do the laundry. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James taking you right to the top of the hour, getting you ready for some news break and matinera on the air. Be sure to stick around for Jane's show. We love Jane and we appreciate the good work she does for Civic and our listeners out there.
And just to throw out a little bit of breaking news, if you're having trouble logging into Facebook or Instagram, you're not alone. They're down right now.
Yeah, We do appreciate all of you guys supporting and following those pages. Keep on the lookout. We'll have those up and running again for you real soon.
Yeah. Well, it's not us.
It's not us.
But yeah.
Trying to be, the encompassing we, yes, the collective we
yes,
there.
The collective we.
I don't know. But let's go ahead and get to some fun stories here. And possible that ain't right stories. You could choose yourself. This one is an interesting one. A Vermont man said a library book he found that's more than 60 years overdue can't be returned because the college to which it belongs is about to close.
Oh, no.
Gary DeFore said the poetry book Love Songs by Sarah Teasdale was found among his possessions of his great aunt Madeline at the former family home in Lake George, New York. Side note, we need to make more Madelines. That's a great name.
It is a good name.
Love that name. DeFore said he discovered the book had been checked out from the College of St. Rose Library in Albany, New York in 62. He said he does not know how his great aunt came to possess the book, as she had attended the school in the 20s, and the card in the books bore the name of another borrower. Interesting. DeFore said he considered returning the book to the library, but learned the College of St. Rose is closing permanently in June. He said he would like to find a new home for the book, as well as Madeline's textbooks from her time at St. Rose. It does bring to light how important it is to keep our libraries alive and to appreciate, use our libraries. And when we're using the items at the library, use them like you're borrowing them from your grandma or grandpa. Take good care of them.
Show them care.
Mm-hmm. Other people will want to use them. And when you do misuse those items, you're paying for them because it comes out of taxpayer dollars. So you're just shooting yourself in the foot with that, basically.
And very often, that's about the only fine you're going to get from a library.
Yeah.
Most libraries aren't fining for late returns unless they're like DVDs or something. But books, a lot of libraries don't charge late fees for books anymore, but if you damage something, they're going to charge you for it.
Man, in this day and age, we get nickel and dimed by everything, and everything, it costs more, and they're making smaller portions now and all this. Meanwhile, our local libraries are going out of their way to get rid of fines, to do anything they can to get you into the building. Support our libraries and take advantage of that, everybody, because
Yeah, it's important. I appreciate that every time I check out a book from Abbotsford, it shows on the bottom of the receipt that you get that, tells you when your books are due. It tells you how much it would have cost you to purchase all of those items that you just checked out.
Wow.
And I think that's a great reminder of what an amazing service libraries give to communities.
Yeah, that is a really cool idea. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Support your local library, whether you live in Abbotsford, Nakusa, Rome, here in Wisconsin Rapids, wherever you are, you probably got a great library. Support them.
McMillan is a beautiful facility.
God, are we spoiled here in town. Mm-hmm. I love that library. It was my first favorite place here in town. Other than like a walking path or something like that, the library, even before I lived in Rapids, when I was living in Rome, I just love that library. Still do.
Yeah.
We want to get to a good story here and got a couple of them for you, including the world's oldest person.
Ooh.
The oldest living person, Maria Breyes Morea, is celebrating her 117th birthday. She celebrated yesterday in Spain.
I was going to say, she's either Spanish or Italian, my guess.
Morea was born March 4th, 1907 in San Francisco, has lived in Catalonia, Spain since she was 8 years old, and has been residing at the same nursing home for the last 23 years.
Oh, my.
Morea was named the oldest living person by Guinness World Records in January of 23, following the passing of French woman Lucille Randon at the age of 118.
Wow.
Quote, she is very grateful for all the congratulations received and the interest that so many people have shown in her state of health. Eva Carrera-Boix, the director of Morea's nursing home, told Guinness World Records. She is happy to be able to celebrate this special day intimately with her family and colleagues and wishes everyone a happy Monday. And did you notice I said colleagues there? Because she's still putting in work.
Really?
Yeah, she does stuff around the nursing home to help out and everything and, has little jobs around there. It's pretty cool.
Huh.
Maria remains active at the nursing home and maintains a social media presence on Twitter with help from her young 80-year-old daughter.
Wow. Young daughter.
quote, "Good morning, world. Today I turn 117 years old. I've come this far," she wrote on Monday. Great story. I love that we're still doing this. Like, we our whole lives, Melissa, we've, you know, from having the Smuckers and that, to, you know, celebrating people going out, getting over 100. I like that we still do this.
Mm-hmm. I think
that's,
agree.
That's pretty cool.
Well, and 118 years old. Wow.
That's remarkable. Just beautiful. What a life. I can only imagine the stories and the different things she's got that she's learned and felt over the years, over in her lifetime experience.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of local good things going on. I want to touch on some of those. We'll get to that in a second. First, let's get to our palate cleanser and looking at our schedule for today. And man, we got a good one lined up for you. We kick off morning Midday Magazine for the week with a jam-packed hour. In part one, we're going to talk to our friends at the Nakusa High School and give a preview of their musical that's coming up. Looking forward to telling you more about Honk, an ugly duckling of a musical.
Oh, good. That's awesome.
We're going to have a handful of the kids in with us, along with Assistant Director Jenny. It's going to be great. Looking forward to having them in studio. I get to talk acting, Melissa, with a bunch of kids.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorite. Cool. I get paid to do this. I love it. It's so much fun. Can't wait. And in part two, we get to talk to our great friends at the Southwick County YMCA.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah,
Baxter. Hear about their programs coming up.
Mm-hmm. Baxter and Carly are going to join us. We're going to talk a little bit about camp, talk a little bit about some of the other programs that they have going on. It's going to be a lot of fun. Nice. Looking forward to that.
Good, good.
A little bit later today at 7:05, we've got the Wisconsin Hockey Hour here at WFHR. Join us as kind of a recap of the Badgers men's season, and you hear about that, and it should be a good one. On Wednesday, we'll have the Greg Gard Show at 6:05, and then it's a ball night, 8:30, Milwaukee Bucks versus the Golden State Warriors, 8:30 tip-off for that one. That is going to be a good game.
Okay.
Also, speaking of sports, your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings are moving on in the playoffs. River Kings had a very successful first round of the playoffs over the weekend. This weekend, they are back in action, and we got these games right here in town.
Nice.
Home hockey playoff.
So you can playoff. See them in person.
Yeah. Get your tickets at riverkingshockey.com. Head on over to the Southwick County Rec Center. Let's show them what home ice advantage is as the Kings build hockey up and down the river and try to get us our first championship.
Nice.
This is a good team. It's a fun team. There's nothing like seeing hockey in person. Be sure to get your tickets and support the Kings as they build hockey up and down the river. Get those tickets at riverkingshockey.com, riverkingshockey.com. Also wanted to touch on this. Enjoy working with your young children? Want to start your own business and work from home? Attend a free virtual information startup meeting with our friends at Child Caring Inc. This is going on today from 12:30 to 2:30. You can check this out. You can go ahead and find out more online by going to childcaring.org. That's childcaring.org. Startup grants, types of care, resources, support through startup processes, all this available. I personally believe that there is the biggest thing that we are facing as a society is handling childcare.
Yeah. Yes. We have so many childcare deserts in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely an industry that we need more people in.
Yeah. And if this is something you've ever thought about doing, you've ever been on the fence about, or maybe you're looking for a new career, a new career, not a job. Mm-hmm. You want to get into something that's, and you're also looking for an industry that's reliable. You know, yeah. Let me just.
You're never going to run out of work.
Yeah. Let me just double check this. Yeah. We're always going to be making kids, everybody. So yeah. There's that. There's a lot of layers to this. And certainly, you know, not telling you to just go ahead and jump right into it. You know, take advantage of this. Our friends at childcaring.org, they do some really, really good work. They care so much about this. And they are one of the things that I support and I like about them, too. It's always about the kids. The kids always come first. And that has to be the way we approach childcare.
Absolutely.
I encourage you to find out more at childcaring.org. Again, childcaring.org. That is going on today, 12:30 to 2:30. Want to remind you that our friends at the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties have their Women's United signature event coming up, Power of the Purse.
Power of the Purse. That's happening on March 12th.
Yeah, 5 to 7:30, our Bullseye Golf Club. Be sure to get your tickets and find out more. I believe you can even preview some of those purses right
now. Yeah, they're putting sneak peeks out on their Facebook page, which is down right now because Facebook's down. But
be sure to check that out.
You can check out those.
Yeah, you can go to uwswac.org to get your tickets and find out more about that. I encourage you to do so, everybody. The work that Women's United do, whether it is raising money for local things or Dolly Parton's Imagination Library program.
Childhood literacy is the focus of this fundraiser.
Yeah, it's some incredible work that they do. I encourage you to check that out, everybody.
Mm-hmm. And a fun evening.
Yeah, it's a great
time. She's like, we have hors d'oeuvres. Well, it's a pasta bar. It's kind of like a meal.
Yeah. Be sure to check that out, everybody. It's a good one. Also wanted to mention this, too. Get this out there again. The Cadbury Bunny tryouts are happening again. And
what?
Your pet can enter. Yeah, you can. I can enter Sammy. Aww. You can enter Kevin. Just follow Cadbury. Just follow Cadbury on Instagram. Post a photo and explain why they're the best. Then tag Cadbury in it and use the hashtag Cadbury Bunny Contest.
It doesn't have to be a bunny.
Yeah, that can be any animal. Past winners include a few dogs, a frog, and a one-eyed cat named Crash last year.
What do you think, Kevin? Do you want to be a Cadbury bunny?
I think
he's not here right now. I'm asking the ether.
I think Kevin would have a chance to win this. Just be careful. Kevin wins, it might go to his head. Might go to his head,
it
you know.
Might.
Yeah,
it might.
I don't know. I don't know if you want to do that, Melissa. I don't know.
we'll discuss it.
Yeah, it's a good idea. It's a good idea. Talk it out first. One more time, I want to remind you, this Thursday, Steve Leslie, Grammy Award-winning songwriter for Kenny Rogers, George Strait, Darius Rucker, and many others, and recording artists are going to be performing the work of James Taylor, How Sweet It Is, right here in Wisconsin Rapids at the Performing Arts Center.
Awesome. That's on Thursday.
Yeah.
March 7th.
Steve gives you an authentic and spellbinding concert. Leslie's warm baritone, exceptional guitar technique, and uncanny resemblance make this a one-of-a-kind tribute to this American music icon.
Yeah, you don't want to miss it.
Almost everybody's got a favorite James Taylor song, or at least knows some of the library of the great James Taylor and some of his work. This is an opportunity to see it live. It's awesome. And a shout out to Mr. Leslie as well. He's conducting a songwriting workshop and mini concert to area students at 10 the Thursday morning.
Oh, perfect.
I love that these guys, that these artists take the time to do this. Imagine being one of those kids. That's remarkable, man. That is pretty darn cool. Good on them for doing that. And good on our friend Sally and Eric and the great work that they do bringing these acts here to town. If you want more information or get tickets at savorthearts.com, savorthearts.com. And encourage you to not only get tickets for that, but other great shows coming up with our friends at Savor the Arts over at the Performing Arts Center.
Yeah, because they got that Always Olivia on the 10th as well. So
yeah.
You guys will get tickets for both while you're there.
Mm-hmm. Great show, Melissa. Thanks so much for hanging out.
Yeah, you too, James. Have a great day.
Have a great day and be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.